The Demon Sea.
Well, cut. You must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Sea.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
It's on.
We're live.
Is he recording?
He's on. All of the boys. All of the boys.
All of the lovely young lads. All together through the miracle of 21st century technology.
Through the use of technology,
Michael in Cardiff. And no one knows where young Rhys Waters is. Last seen in the Antipodes.
Enjoying the fruits of his labor. Or should I say the labor of the other two who turn up and give a fuck each week, talking about penises, anuses, shit and balls, whilst he harvests the money, enjoys his jet ski, his two-day weekend breaks in Rome, and of course, his intensely long masturbation sessions with downloaded high-quality porn, including willies, fannies, and all types of shit. Welcome, my friend.
It's not so rich, Rhys hasn't been here for months.
He hasn't been here for a long, long time.
Sorry.
No.
So, Mike, you like sports?
I do. I like all the sports, yeah. I do.
Perfect intro. Go on. What sports are you into?
Glenleith RFC are playing a game here next week. I'm going to see him.
Oh, Glenleith. Nice club.
Weird.
Well, send my regards to the boys.
I will all of them individually. I'll say Mike Bubbin send his regards.
Hello, Glenleith.
We had all the fucking
I fucking love Glenleith, man. This fucking tidiest fucker, man. There's lot to do and all. Like, you're going to have a look at all the fucking mountains. You can go in your car. You can go to the shops and buy some fucking groceries. Like, you can go down to Neath if you're feeling adventurous and it's a bit bigger down there. Like, but there is absolutely tons to do in Glenleith.
Fucking all the Glenleith boys, right? When we're on tour, right? We're keeping it sensible, right? None of us are drinking.
Keeping it real.
Aye, Yazoo milkshakes, right? None of this fucking boozing. We're fucking doing jigsaws on a fucking tour bus, right? Keeping it fucking...
No fucking about, mate.
Strictly business, right? Fucking none of that, right? And then fucking...
The fucking backseat crew we call ourselves, the BSC, like, we fucking go down there. The boys bring fucking Kaplunk, fucking Mouse Catcher, all the games, like, we play the fuck out of them all the way down to the game. We have a game of rugby, we come back playing games again for the second time we're mud, yeah.
Fucking serious. The only dirt we see is a fucking mud in between our toes in the fucking shower, right? Afterwards, right, we're stocking up on bananas for a bit of fucking zinc and all that, right? Fucking strictly business, lads. Are you fucking serious? And then as for that fucking trip to Canada, they went fucking tits today because they delegalized fucking ganji, right? To fucking get up there, right? Pop in a bomb.
Well, they're all fucking wacky backy over in Canada, man. They fucking love it. They're all fucking blocked up, like.
Fucking ganji, but fucking hell, I'm tripping my balls off, right? Someone did chuck me the ball, right? I go in for a fucking conversion or a try or whatever it's fucking called. I can't even remember after I fucking saw high.
Are you too fucking welcome to what we're fucking doing? That's why, man.
Fucking tripping bollocks. That fucking goalpost looks like a letter H, right? Fucking hell, it blew my fucking mind. It was, right? They thought fucking I've grown a fucking unicorn tube on the front of my fucking face and a pair of fucking angel's wings, right? And I'm fucking flying. I'd be tripping balls. I said, I'm fucking.
Tidiest. Fuck, man.
I'd be never going back to fucking Canada again, as far as I'm concerned. I
wanna... Boys, on the piss again, on the piss again, on the piss again. Yeah.
Glenleith crew, 1984, they was all fucking pissheads, right? Nowadays, it's all fucking yams.
They're a hell of a good boy, man.
Fucking tidy. None of them are fucking dirty players. They're all fucking respectful. There's no elbows or fucking knees going in mind, right?
That's and when the whistle goes, John, that's the end of sports, man. You shake hands and get on with it. It don't matter if someone have kicked you in the nuts or stamped on your eyeballs or even if they grabbed your testicles and pulled them off, right? When the whistle goes, buy him a pint, go to the bar, have a sing song, get back on the bus and play fucking Mousetrap.
They're fucking so respectful of each other. Some of those lads are getting off with each other after the fucking game's over just to show respect.
I had a fucking couple of necks, mind. I was necking a couple of the boys in the back of the bus after one game just to show me who the whole bus how much respect I held him in. Like, you know what I mean?
I fucking bowed down in front of Dio's Willie and said a prayer, but I'm not fucking respectful. Fucking tidy. Communion and all that in it, but body of Christ, but...
forgive me, Father.
I'm remembering all that shit.
Oh.
goes out to the one who does it to his kids and films it.
You know, Arthur, they've only been
drawing some new stuff.
Desperately seeking some new content, but probably just going to do this for the next hour. We're only about 5 minutes in.
I haven't even got a bottle to blow in today. I'll find one before the end of the show.
Fuck me. We're fucking... we've got to go deep here.
I've just seen one. I'm packing up, John, because I'm moving out.
Last time we spoke, obviously it was one of the high-profile paid episodes, so we're going back to the dregs now. Quick update for the listeners. You know, you're moving house. How long before you move? Like they care, like they give
knows.
But how long? How long before
you... But, you know, they click like and subscribe. I'll tell them all about it as it's happening.
Nobody knows it, but you've got a secret smile and you save it only for me.
And use it only for me.
My favourite song that was.
Use it. Something. This world for a second. And something.
I knew they
liked me. Nobody knows it.
You've got a secret smile. And I used to ride past on my bike and I was open, just praying. He was looking out the window and I knew he'd be there because we'd seen each other in church on the Sunday looking at each other. And he'd pop his head out the window and he'd look at me and he'd give me the smile and then he'd press his phallus up against the window and squeeze it all up and I'd take a picture. The only memories I've got of him now is squished cheese up against the fucking mirror on that fucking song.
Memories, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her something?
I should learn the words to some songs, really.
Hits from the musicals with Mike Bubbins, with some of the words in some of the right places. 15 anthems on one double CD, featuring memories.
So what happens now? Another suitcase in another hall. So what happens now? Another suitcase in another hall. Something else.
Featuring such classics as One Night in
Jesus Christ, Superstar. That you said you are.
Plus, double bonus Carole King Tapestry tribute album, including such hits as...
give me a Carole King one.
Just that does the advert. Give me a Carole King one.
Give me a song from the Carole King Tapestry album.
And it's too late, you fucking dickweed.
And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. And you really something's got to make it. And this is magic, Saint Infinity. And it's
featuring Mike Whistling for the bits he doesn't remember.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, dear. Free bonus download of some Chaz and Dave songs
it
that he knows
pink
off.
And yellow and green and purple and...
Sign up now and get this exclusive Mike Bubbins Christmas CD featuring Little Drummer Boy.
Come, they told him, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum. Peace on earth.
Sign up now for only $16.99 for all this and some more with the Mike Bubbins exclusive non-lyrical, lyrical classic Christmas, Carole King, other Songs of the Musicals EP. Remembering stuff. Remembering the Britannia Music catalogue. And if you were a student, you could get it. Sign up and get first five free albums and then fuck it off because you were moving out afterwards. Then you would just use someone else's credit card details. But they got the Jamiroquai album off that.
Good old Jake. Tiny man. Tiny,
fucking
tiny man.
Great. Tiny, tiny little fella. I went to his house once, and this is a very strange story because
this is a real story.
It's a real story, and it's,
you were stalking
him. Well, this is fucking ridiculous. I had nothing to do with the music industry. I had nothing to do with the band.
Made out of virtual insanity,
featuring three of the hits from Jamiroquai, including that one, you know.
In the late 90s, I was my mate Showbiz Steve, wonderful man. Showbiz Steve, lovely man. And
I knew you were gonna do that.
Okay, classic.
Because we always do it.
Fuck me. I'm glad they're not paying for this one because it's fucking pathetic.
Oh, fuck them. What do they expect for nothing?
Yeah, that's true.
Go on, fucking stick your fingers up your ass. I don't give a fuck what they do.
What do they expect for nothing? Fucking bastards. Oh, God.
In my Liverpool home. Marlene Wilcox is a Liverpudlian who uses Stork Superblend margarine, and she's been voted a Stork Superman by her friends and her family.
She's been a mother to me as well as the children.
Well, that's a lovely thing.
She's my confidant, and I know everything that I tell her goes no further.
Oh, no further than the end of the street.
Really, we're all fools together.
I think it sums you lot up. How much do you love her?
60 pence.
That's why I chose her, because she's perfect.
Oh. Everybody.
And now, my little live bird, why do you prefer Stork SB?
Well, Bruce said, and the kids like it.
Doesn't it spread well, whack?
Stork Superblend margarine helps a good mum become a supermum.
They didn't give us nothing. They'll get nothing, John.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be very fair with you, John, the ones that do give us something, they get nothing either.
They don't get fuck all. They don't get fuck all.
And to be fair, John, we don't get fuck all off no one. Not even the bloke's supposed to be getting the money off the other cunts giving the money.
That cunt, what's been setting it up, been doing it for fucking weeks now. He ain't fucking paid us nothing. Out there fucking wanking himself over a high-class, high-definition porn, what he's downloading off the internet on his jet ski, while we're sat here in a fucking room. One of us.
He's got a fucking new coming out of that cunt. I got a brand new combine harvester. I'll give you the key. Bum, bum, bum. I got 40 acres. You got 43. Well, I get a brand new combine harvester. I'll give you the key. Bum, bum, bum.
Fucking hell. It's pathetic.
I am a cider drinker. I drink it all the day. Ooh-ah-roo-ah-re. Ooh-ah-roo-ah-re. They're playing in Cardiff this weekend. They're playing tonight.
No
way. They're playing tonight in Hayley Park, Cardiff, the Wurzels, live.
Jesus Christ. Why didn't you go and see him? You know it's
fucking Kelly's out. They got the kids, haven't they?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck's sake. This is a travesty. You know, Glastonbury, the biggest music festival in the world, is on right now. You've got.
I'd rather be at the fucking Wurzels than watching Billie Eilish. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. I'd be straight up there seeing the Wurzels.
And Paul McCartney, by the way.
Yeah.
Who I got great respect in the world for Paul McCartney, but the man hasn't been able to sing for 20 years.
I don't want to go and see Paul McCartney.
Let's be honest.
If you're going to see the Beatles, you want to see them in a small, sweaty room with about 80 people, right? After some of them had died, after they'd gone to the stadiums, after they'd split up and done, I don't want to see that. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of time.
Paul McCartney, a towering giant of the music business, wonderful songwriter, an absolute visionary.
Great lad.
That man who literally changed the face of music forever across the world.
Yeah.
But he can't sing. The man's pushing 80, he can't sing. Fact.
Shit, man. Absolute shit. Great.
Well, I saw Tom Jones last week and he can sing. You know the thing about Tom Jones, you see, he's still there. You know, John, you can still sing a song. Like he sometimes goes up in the middle of a sentence, for no apparent reason, you know, but he can still undeniably, John, you know, sing a song.
Did he do Sex Bomb, that one from the 90s?
He did. Spy on me, baby, you satellite.
The Mike Bubbins Tom Jones Celebration album. It's back with some of the words and most of the music.
Sex Bomb, I'm a sex bomb. And. The nights grow cold, my search for gold is leading nowhere. Baby, place for me that I can go away. It's a fight to survive just until tomorrow. a man's place on earth, I have come to realize, is decided by birth. So what's the future where we don't know where the next penny's coming from? Something's wrong.
What the fuck? Bluebirds over the
And all... Who do you think?
Ring the bell, ring the fucking bell. Ring it, 40 minutes in. Ring the fucking bell. Here, Uncle Arthur, there's some fella that calls himself Tom Jones out the front. He's got a face that looks like he's made out of leather, but he's got half of a singing voice on him. Don't tell him, Pike. Don't tell him, Pike. Check his cheese out with Pike. Make sure he's made out of leather. Cracking great news,
Tom. You cannot go around showing up Paul McCartney with your wonderful singing voice as an octogenarian.
I can't breathe. Oh, what a here, Uncle Arthur, there's a really old fella outside with a pair of tight leather trousers on. Reckons he's had sex with over 30,000 women, he does. Reckons he can sing a couple of songs or two. I'll sleep with no sex bomb, Pike.
Don't sleep with him, Pike.
Here, Uncle Arthur, he's awfully sexy. He's offered to put it inside of me if I could.
Don't shake him up, Pike.
Don't panic. Don't panic, Mr. Manning. I'll put some sanitizer on him.
We're all doomed.
Would it be possible that we could possibly look at his cheese home? <and he? laughs> God. It's just a different order. It doesn't matter where it starts.
There's no fucking... Who cares?
Remembering Robert Kilroy Silk had a fantastic chat show in the mornings several years ago.
Fucking woman's crumpet.
Thought he was really classy and then found out he's into all this UKIP malarkey. Now he's a bit of a twat. But I still would watch reruns on YouTube because I've got a thing for the 90s and early 2000 TV. I'm still happy to watch Dale Winton doing Supermarket Sweep if he wasn't dead.
Supermarket Sweep. I remember Kelly's grandmother once. She was a big fan of Roger Whittaker.
Oh, lovely man. At
motorway service stations, I bought a Roger Whittaker Best Of CD.
Yeah, Skybox song.
She was loving that.
Yeah.
And she said, the immortal words, you never see the young lads whistling these days. So I'm bringing it back.
I tell you what, all these young people... They're out there these days with their Nike trainers and they're out there smoking their spice or doing whatever they do. You don't see a young person whistling these days. That's something they ought to bring back. And since we left Brexit and we've left Europe, I think it's time to bring a bit of whistling back, and I think we've cut the crime down massively. Don't you agree, Robert?
Here, young Kyle. Come over here, Kyle. Yeah, put down the spice, Kyle. Come over here and for your Uncle John and whistle the Scar Boat song. He loves, does it, lovely, isn't it? Now fuck off, man, lad.
Roger Whittaker.
I'm gonna leave old Durham town. I'm gonna leave old Durham town. I'm gonna leave old Durham town. And the leaving's gonna get me down.
I'm thinking I'm going back now to one of Northern England's favourite bands. I can't remember the name now, but it'll come back as soon as I mention. And I say, Alice, who the fuck is Alice? And Roy Chubby Brown did a version of it. And I can't remember the name of the fucking band.
God. Who were they called?
What were they fucking called? Trying to remember.
God.
What were they? It was called, it was like Sandy or something like that.
Yeah, whiskey or something or something.
It was whiskey or... I'm going to have to Google it. You'll fucking Google it.
Don't press pause. I'll Google it live.
Gonna keep making the noises until we find out who did it. Living next door to Alice. What was the name of the song?
Who sang the song Living Next Door to Alice?
Someone fucking tell me, because I'm gonna have a hemorrhage.
Smokey.
And for 21 years I've been living next door to Alice. Then Roy Shobby Brown comes in and goes, Alice,
who the fuck is Alice?
What a great podcast. What a great podcast. It's a great podcast. Fucking much, Mike Bubbins sings the hit song.
Very, okay. I think it was Mike Bubbins, of course. He was very much the cutting edge, John. He was
very much the cutting edge.
Avant-garde, if you will. There was a movement in the sort of end of the first quarter of the 21st century, of course, towards, as always, I mean, fashion and music and things are cyclical, John, as I'm sure you're well aware.
Of course,
there was
naturally
a movement back towards the whistling movement of the sort of 1970s, the latter quarter of the 20th century, of course.
Better Renaissance, almost.
Renaissance is the perfect expression for it, John, and very much at the vanguard of this movement. Of course, was young Michael Bubbins from the South Wales area,
who wonderful man.
Was unashamedly a fan of whistling, John. No small part because of his wife's grandmother, of course, who frequently bemoaned the lack of whistling in modern society. And almost single-handedly, or double-lipped, if you will, John, brought whistling back to the mainstream. And of course, who can forget such classics as Firestarter, of course, when he whistled Firestarter?
Of course, Keith Flint from The Prodigy. If you'd like to take away and show us an example, Michael, of that type of whistling, it was wonderful.
Well, what Bubbins did, which I think John set him apart from the crowd. Of course, they're often imitated after this, and seldom bettered. But certain songs, of course, that he was completely un au fait with. For example, Firestarter by the Prodigy, where he literally only knew the lyrics. Twisted Firestarter.
I mean, some of the lines I'm your radiator, your bedroom radiator. Something instigated.
great podcast. And okay. Of course, one thing Bubbins became known for, very much his leitmotif, if you will, was he would not only would he fill in the gaps of certain songs with whistling, but he would often forget not just the lyrics of the song, of course, John, but the melody and the whistle segment would oft times bear little or no resemblance to the actual melody of the song in which he was trying to
You take something such as one of the massive hits of the 1970s, Una Paloma Blanca, Free Like a Bird. Mike adapted it for the younger generation. These people smoking their spice with their tight tracksuit bottoms and their very big tracksuit shoes and their carefree attitude to the older generation. And Mike stormed in, a 57-year-old man, way beyond his prime, and he walked into this group of young Raffy McTuffies and he said, fuck you, listen to this. And he got an entire generation whistling. And that was what was wonderful about Michael Bubbins.
On round trees of fruit pastille. Steady, lot of flavour in there, must not chew. Little lad like you, gotta be careful. He's chewing it. I knows he is. Bite into that crispy, sugary bit. And he was into the real fruit flavour. You chewed!
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, he did!
I couldn't help it. All that flavour.
Self-control, lovely boy.
Rantree's fruit pastilles. Irresistible.
Yes.
Ring the bell. Oh, Christ, it's so hot. I can't take the heat. There's another fucking blazing hot summer again. It's so warm for me. I can't work. Oh, Adam. Why don't you jump in the bath with me, Adam? We can take cool.
go down in this bar the beans for 5 minutes. Oh, I forgot someone's of that. The house is surrounded by young Muffy McTuffies with their tight tracksuit bottoms and their big shoes, and they're all looking at me with a fucking look of vengeance. I told them there's 5 whistling, they've told me to fuck off. Well, you know I can't whistle. Not since the accident. I had been putting my choppers around that bit of cheese. I can try whistling my ring piece, I don't. Oh, Christ.
Made the point.
He's dead.
Gordon K. The Krypton Factor. The bit at the end when they had to do the assault course. And I thought, as a kid, I'd rather do the bit where you fly the plane than be fucked to get into a tracksuit. I'm all moving all the fucking mad. Fuck that.
All that cleverness meant fuck all if you were fat and hopeless.
Yeah. For why me not? I'm sure it do.
Oh, God. I didn't care.
He fucking looked lovely. When I used to bring someone home, when I was single before, then I came, I used to bring someone home. We used to go to the charity shop and buy a suit, and we get him fucking racks, and we spike him, and we put a suit on him. And the time came, do you know what we used to do? She gave me the look, yeah. She knows what I used to do. I put a fucking suit on him.
I know fucking full well, mind. Go on.
Yeah, fucking serious. We cut all his penis and balls. We'd have him I'm not joking. We'd have his penis and balls hanging out the front. We'd fucking film it. And you know the camera, don't you? The fucking Sony XL37 camera. But you keep giving me the look. You fucking know, don't you, man? We fucking film his cheese hanging out the fucking front. And we fucking look at it for weeks on end. And if he ever complained, I'd say that, Gareth, if you fucking cross me, I'm taking that video to the library and I'm showing all the fucking down and outs what are in there while you get up for the weekend. And he never crossed me since. Melon. And if you ever see me drinking and I'm a bit loose, don't ever come near me because I'll fuck you over and I'll film it, you bastard. 2 tickets to fucking Kalala. Here we come, holidays. Hey, Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Fuck me, what a podcast.
One ring to find them all. One ring to bind them. One ring to bring them all and in the darkness.
Oh, my precious. Fucking film me, you did.
Two men making noises and laughing at each other in a stupid voice. What a fucking shit show this is. Oh, dear. Julian McKeith.
Hey, pass.
I think Gillian McKeith is the one who claimed she was a doctor and she put a shit in a sandwich box and then put it on a TV show and claimed that something like 30% of the shit was made of broccoli or something ridiculous like that. And then she got sacked from the TV. Not sure if I'm remembering the right person.
Richard Blackwood did it.
Richard Blackwood with a short-lived rap
career. I'm sure so Richard Blackwood have a shit on television.
Best bit of the podcast when Mike said, I saw Richard Blackwood have a shit.
It's paranormal, isn't it? It is paranormal.
Massively. It's coming in. Reese, have we got anything in that paranormal bit?
Any paranormal thing?
Anything in there?
Marlene.
Oh, Marlene. Get the blood dogs out of here.
You plonker of me.
No, we don't.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Right, that's fuck that then.
He's well worth his third, that boy, isn't he? I say his third, he gets fucking 3/3. Well, we're the fucking ones in this situation.
What's the new car like, Reese? Any good?
Nice. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, we've got to think of something.
How's those t-shirt designs looking, okay?
Yeah, they're on order.
My plans were to the Sistine Chapel fucking quicker than those t-shirts got finished.
The website's being built, and yeah. We'll have the single logo tip one ready for purchase. Yeah. Soon, probably.
Great. When are they, 2026?
Because of inflation, they're going to be expensive t-shirts.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, all I can say, if you listen to this podcast, you listen to it for free, you know, if you want to subscribe to the better stuff. Oh,
who's gonna?
Yeah, Phil, because you get it twice a week. You get it twice, once every
Dan
week.
Dan Peterson does.
Yeah, Daisy.
Not Dan Peterson, I should say. The one who
does the pictures, yeah. So we've got the one who does the pictures, the one who listens in his car. The one who makes his sons do impressions of stuff that's 35 to 40 years out of date and films it.
Danny! Oh, no, it has been too long. I'm remembering now the character who played the Italian fascist with the big art, with the feathers coming out of the side. And he was also in other TV shows, but I cannot remember his fucking name. But I think that
he's something like Alberto. Oh, what was he called? Tortellini or something?
So
mildly racist.
Fucking brilliant. Reese, this will keep you busy. Reese, who's the Italian Reese. One on Hello, Hello?
Find out the Italian one on Hello, Hello.
I'll get our people to look into it.
Can you do it now?
He's not even going to look into it himself.
Yeah.
Have you got a phone there?
What have we got?
I'm searching it on the internet now.
Just Google the Italian one on Hello, Hello.
Just remembered the Italian one on Hello, Hello. Played, I think his name was Tony in EastEnders. In the early 90s.
Excuse me, John.
Who is the Italian?
Hang on, let me give you an intro.
Okay. Captain Alberto Bertarelli.
That's it.
Brilliant.
Performed by Roger Kitter.
Roger Kitter. Also in, was he in? IMDb him.
EastEnders, Roger Kitter. Have a look at that. Who did he play in EastEnders?
Roger Kitter, none fitter, of course.
He's dead.
Yeah, okay. Good. We can slander him. Perfect.
He was famous for saying, "What a mistake to make it." He also, he was on a stage version of the show.
How did he die?
See? Impaled by a cat. No.
What a mistake to make.
What a mistake. You know what they said about that guy? He 22 years in the acting business.
What was his name? Who was that guy that played the eye-tie guy? What was his name?
That motherfucker.
His name was something up the shitter or something. What was his name, Reese?
Who?
I can't
remember. Reese, who played the Italian guy in Hello, Hello? What was the cat's name?
Captain Bertarelli.
Not the fucking character, you schmuck. Who played the guy? Who was the actor?
Roger Kitter.
Roger Kitter, the man was an absolute pro.
That guy.
We used to call him the shit of Kitter when we knew. I first met him on Broadway back in the 1950s. And I remember Roger Kitter walked in there with some limey accent, thinking he was the goddamn cock of the North. Everyone thought, what an asshole this guy is. You know, and he had this party piece where he sort of opened his asshole apart and fart, but without making a noise. And it was known as just amazing, as Fitter's amazing shitter. And we thought the guy was some kind of clunge. But it turned out to be, he was one of the nicest guys in the whole of Broadway, one of the nicest guys in theater land. And the people loved him, John. The people, the actors loved him. The crews loved him. The audience loved him. And my God, I'm not scared to say it. I fucking love the guy, and that's the truth.
You know what? That guy was so freaking generous. He donated his own seed to my own throat back in 1952. That guy was a son of a bitch. I was choking on the side of the street. I had no job. I had no money. My wife, my second wife had left me. My third wife was asking for money. I had fuck all. My Model T Ford had broken down. Both the fucking wheels had come off the front. I collapsed outside Man's Chinese Theater, and I thought, this is it. It's end of days. Next thing I know,
it's 4,000 miles away from New York for a kickoff.
That's right. That's why the car was there. I was traveling a long way that day.
No wonder anyway, the car was fucked.
The car breaks down. My second wife's asking me for money. My third wife hasn't even divorced me yet. She's punching me in the balls. I've got nothing left. I've got no career. I've got no prospects. This freaking English guy turned up. He popped his dick in my throat and pumped it full of his love seed. And he said, take a mouthful of that, you bastard. And you know what? He saved my fucking life with his dick. And I'll never forget that son of a bitch as long as I live. Do, 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 you motherfucker. Well, I'm a mistake to make.
Oh. Help me. Help me.
He did the same thing to me, that guy. He had a heart as big as a lion. He put his phallus in my mouth, ejaculated, and said, keep reaching for the stars, sunshine. And that was the kick up the ass I needed.
1922. New York saw the coldest winter it's ever seen. People were freezing their dicks off just trying to take a piss on the side of the subway. That winter I was there all by myself with nothing but three wives asking for money, a car with no fucking wheels, some pants with a hole in the ass cheeks and no job prospects. And that guy had a heart as big as fucking Brooklyn, but his asshole was as big as the whole of fucking New York. And that guy invited me in. I climbed inside and I spent 2.5 weeks gathering from the snow in his ring piece. And boy, did I stink of shit when I came out of there. But I was the warmest motherfucker in all of the South Side. Do, you motherfucker. Help me. Help me.
Oh, God.
You never seen a ring piece that big. You could fit two men in there and a Model T Ford, and there was still room for two beef burgers and fries on top. Do, 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 you motherfucker.
The one who hates the farting noises is going to fucking hate this episode.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Fucking hell. Oh, God.
Of course, the interesting thing about Roger Kitto, of course, is he'd made a small fortune in the West End of London, of course, in theatre. He came to the United States just after the Second World War, and he was looking to make a name for himself, of course. And who should be there one day? But he was on the subway in New York. And young George Lucas was there, of course. And George Lucas, a young man at the time, and I believe he was in stage school, he sat there on the subway platform, and he saw Roger Kitto, of course, put his phallus into a man's mouth, and then let the man climb inside his anus with another young man, of course. And this was, you know, what a wonderful gesture, because it was a very cold winter that particular year. And he saw these people whose lives had been saved by Roger Kitto, letting them climb inside his asshole and to live there in the warmth of his insides. And of course, young Lucas, very many years later, a very, very successful man, he'd made the Star Wars movie, of course, to great acclaim. In the second Star Wars movie, he needed a way that he could keep young Luke Skywalker, played by Mark Hamill, alive on the ice planet of Hoth. And he thought, I know what I'll do. I will make an animal that's basically an alien version of Roger Kitto. And if you remember in that scene, young Luke climbs inside the animal, the Kitto based animal, stays inside the warmth. And even though it was disgusting and repulsive, of course, it saved young Skywalker's life. And Lucas was always reminded of his whole life of that wonderful gesture that Roger Kitto made on that subway station in the 1950s. And this was, John, this was the beauty of Roger Kitto.
Here's a great new way to keep trim in just minutes a day. The sensational American Consumer Exerciser is your own portable gymnasium. Just hook it over any doorknob or bedpost, and away you go. Lie down, relax, watch TV if you like, and our exerciser helps you tone up hips, thighs, calves, and ankles. It's the easy way to a trimmer and more shapely figure. Shape up fast with the American Consumer Exerciser. Now only $2.99. Only $2.99 from your local store.
Oh, I saw that guy back in 85. He walked on stage. No motherfucker made a noise. Nobody even blinked. And he walked on. He claimed, he said, he turned to the cameraman and said, action, before even the freaking director could say action. He said it himself. Ran the fucking lines. 22 minutes of straight dialogue. Not one fuck up. The whole thing. Fantastic. Turned around, walked off. As he walked off, pulled his trousers down, showed two human heads coming out of his asshole and said, do that with two people up you, motherfucker, and walked off. He got an Academy Award. Fantastic.
peace pudding hot, peace pudding cold, peace pudding in the pot 2 days old. Nursery rhymes. Plop, plop, plop.
Help me. Help. Help, fucking help me. Fucking help me, you bastard.
Can't breathe. Can't breathe. Can't breathe.
Michael Parkinson on a Halloween special done on the BBC that a load of celebs pretending they were in a real-life haunted house in the mid-80s. And they tricked loads of people in Britain thinking they were filming a real haunted house, but it wasn't real. And the ghost was called Mr. Pipes. And at the end, Mr. Pipes smashed up the studio and it ended up with Parkinson going nuts, looking at the camera going... round and round the garden like a teddy bear. Round and round the garden like a teddy bear. And everybody went fucking nuts and thought there really was a ghost and taking over the TV, but it hadn't. It was a fucking joke. Ah, fucking got you, you bastards.
Of course, the beauty of Roger Kitte is that he was not the original very racist Italian in Allo Allo. Originally played by a wonderful actor called Gavin Richards.
Gavin, of course, but Gavin.
Where poor Roger Kitte died in 2015. Of course, Gavin remains very much alive in the part of the theater world and the acting world. So we are unable to slander him on a podcast.
Sadly, we had to leave him out, but we were very happy to talk about him behind his back, about how much of a nice man he was and a great actor, a great, great actor. But not
you
a
appear
bastard.
To have turned into the Count from Sesame Street. Yeah.
I want to drink your blood. Tush, tush, tush.
Push mother. Two people up my anus.
Like men, two men talking about some stuff they've seen before on TV. Oh, God.
Everyone should raise a glass tonight to Roger Kitte. Always ask yourself in any given situation, John, what would Roger Kitte do?
I listened to most of the episode, and it's all right. They talk a bit about stuff, but there's a bit where they run out of stuff and it just goes quiet.
Usually about 30 or 40 minutes in, John. Well, they keep looking at the clock and seeing what time it is and just counting down the minutes. Sorry, John, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the episode I listened to, they stop because they've clearly run out. There's no prep. They've done nothing. They don't fuck all. And,
there's nothing at all. It's a slap in the face to the listener, really, John. I mean, it's not so much improvised and loose and risky as thoroughly underprepared and John. I mean, treating people with absolute contempt.
It's all contempt, you know. The bit where they stop for about 28 seconds and then one of them just goes, Roger Kitte. That for me was the highlight. that was the best bit, and I did rewind that a couple of times, but I've given up on it since then, and I haven't gone back since. You know,
well, you'd be mad not to. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, you know, what usually happens these days with the podcast, because it's been going for far too long as it is they'll start off, right. You know, they'll just jump a lot of the usual sort of
gentle chats, you know,
chats and characters
catch up,
and then about. We're about 25, 30 minutes. Occasionally, they'll hit their strides with a funny idea and they'll run with it for about 5 or 10 minutes.
That's
runs out
five or 10, yeah, that's right.
And then they'll just watch the clock for the. I don't even know why they decide to do an hour, really, John. I mean, there's no need to pay for it.
There's no point, really.
After they peak around the 35 to 40 minute mark, you just call it a day at that point, John. But they always believe in the old showbiz tenet of always leave your audience wanting less.
That's right, you know. And with this, you know, you get people wanting to walk away and never even listen to any form of the pre-recorded audio entertainment again. It's so horrible. It's so fucking downright nasty that, you know, people don't want to come back to it. But they do. They do every week, you know. I think last time, of course, we spoke about cooking breakfast on a shovel, which lasted, we eked out a good 18 minutes of that last time. And that were the episode You know, this is.
And the thing is, they quite happily talk about that again this week too. Talk about these things just to fill time. Talking about the stuff they've done previously, John. This is,
of course, you know.
And I think in an age of 24-hour news, people are constantly trying to fill time. You watch some terrible drivel on television these days, John.
Exactly.
I'll say this for Mike and John. At least they know how shit it is, and they don't make any sort of pretense about filling time. They will just happily tell the audience we are filling time because we can't think of anything. They'll just keep to say, John.
Exactly. Filling up the airways with shite, you know, and that's again a great quote for the T-shirt, which is something they can talk about, and in turn they can then take it back to Reese and say, can we make a T-shirt that says, you know, yeah, he's got the bottle, ring the bell, Doris, he's got the bottle, ring that fucking bell. I love it when he does that. So I tune in every week, right, and it's great. It's these two fellas from Wales. Great lads, yeah, really good laugh. I bet if you met them in the pub, they'd be a great laugh. You know, you go to Spain or something, you meet them there. Anyway, the one of them, right, what he does...
If you saw these two lads in Fuengirola, John, you'd have a great time. You'd have a great time, and you'd have lovely, lovely stories to tell your kids and your grandkids one day, wouldn't you?
Oh, the lovely, lovely fellas. I mean, you're the sort of fellas that you'd let them sleep with your wife, Julie, and then you'd have a pint with them afterwards. You know, lovely lads, you know. Anyway,
I think that John in particular, he's a saw a solid type, would give you the shit of his back. If you saw him on holiday, if I was in Players Del America, John, you know, I saw that John, and I reckon he'd give me the shirt off his back. I really do. I think he's a lovely, lovely man. I think he's misunderstood, and people think he's just some sort of a weird little cunt, but I think he's a lovely, lovely man. I think it's
I've heard rumours, right, you know, he would on holiday, you know, minding his own business, you know, with the family and all that, you know, on the beach, and of course, our Darren went over there, and of course, Darren got a bit frisky, he'd gone out to one of the nightclubs, had a couple of drinks, he met some young lass from, you know, fucking Birmingham or somewhere else in the country, and he got a bit friendly. No, of course they will. And he'd run out to condoms.
Oh, donkeys, yeah.
Anyway, you know, he met that John fella. He's such a nice lad, he let him use him as a human condom. He put him on and he used him as a human condom. He said, best holiday of his life. And he gave him his autograph afterwards, lovely bloke. Nice as chips, nice as pie. Of course, he's got the HIV now. We haven't got long left. Help me. What the fuck is this podcast? What the fuck is
As a public information broadcast, we'd like to point out that HIV is no longer a death sentence and can be treated fairly easily with some fairly standard drugs.
This is Mike, happily married, two children, has his own house. Mike's taking a risk. Mike's using himself as a human condom. Remember, don't use yourself as a human condom. Help me. Fucking help. Samu, Gonch, all the names. Imelda Davis got some insulation from the loft called it. Ring the bell. Ring the fucking bell.
I can't reach it. I got a minute.
Fucking hell.
Remember Imelda, yeah?
Imelda Davis, yeah. Classic. Absolute classic.
Nasty cow, wasn't she?
But right bastard. Complete bastard.
Putting like fiberglass insulation down people's backs and making them bleed.
Itchy wool, she called it. What a bastard. What a bastard. Yeah. That didn't happen in my school.
Used to use hawthorn berries.
Yeah. Down people's hawthorn backs. Berries.
Turn them inside out and then put those down the weaker children's backs and rub those in.
Itchy pips. Yes. Yeah. Good lad.
Itchy pips. That's it. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, that was the 80s. You had to make your own fun in those days, didn't you?
That's true. That is true, actually. Match fights. Yeah. We used to buy boxes of matches.
No one got hurt, did they?
No. No one got hurt apart from the kid who put a blasting cap into school. That he'd stolen off of a train track, and then he spent the first part of the morning before the first ballad rung dropping a breeze block on it until it did explode. And then it ripped his trousers apart and he had blood all over his leg, but he was so fucking hard he did the entire school day with blood all over his leg and ripped trousers and no one said a fucking word because he was bigger than every teacher in the school and he'd fuck them up. What a great school.
Yeah.
Just having a micro memory, actually. The same kid.
and I won't say his name because I know he's a guaranteed certified psycho and will murder me, so I'm not even going to ask Reese to bleep this out. But there was a rumour in the late 80s, early 90s, that he spent some time in America, and no one knows why. Something to do with his family. Anyway, there was a rumour that when he lived in America, and this kid didn't have an American accent, he had none of that. It wasn't a privileged lifestyle. I don't know how he'd ended up there. Anyway, the rumour was he'd somehow had a visit to Sesame Street when he was living over there. And everyone used to say, go and ask him if he's ever been to Sesame Street. And everyone was too fucking scared to ask. He would have fucking murdered you if you asked him. And I'll never know to this day, but I guarantee he'd fucking murder you now if you asked him. Fucking micro memories.
You know what you like on there?
Yeah.
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Oh, yeah. Lovely, gentle, very gentle.
Do you
gentle
remember
guy.
Mr. Snuffleupagus? Nobody believed he existed, but Big Bird could see him.
His only friend.
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
His own fucking hell, two men in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and one of them doing an impression of Mr. Snuffleupagus.
And you know what? It's not even a good impression. It's not even sound like Mr. Snuffleupagus. It's like I don't know what he sounded like.
It's a man just going, this Mr. Snuffleupagus. Mr. Snuffleupagus. Oh my God.
I'll put a vaguely American accent on and do Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Oh my gosh, I look like Mr. Snuffleupagus. What can I fucking do? Oh, Reese, I've got a good idea.
Yeah.
Is he still there?
He's gone.
I've got something for you. Dustin G's 80th birthday. Can you look that up? I think it's today.
Dustin G's 80th.
Yeah,
I think he died
before his 80th, mate. Well, naturally, you know, but if he was still here, that could
I think
fill
he was
up
in his 50s,
content.
Actually.
Let's have a look.
Oh, yeah, look at it then.
Dustin G.
Yeah.
Died in 1986.
And how old would he have been now? What was his... Today, was it? Or was today his birthday?
He was 43.
So...
43?
Yeah.
Fuck,
he looked older than that, didn't he?
Yeah.
43?
Suddenly, he fell ill while performing on stage at the opening night of a summer season in Blackpool.
Mm. Love, that's how I want to go. That's how I want to go.
What a mistake you're making.
The whole crowd went fucking wild. They were clapping. They were laughing. He claps down on the stage. Nobody thought it was a fucking real thing. They thought it was a joke part of the show. I ran on. I pulled the curtain across. I said, you dumb bastards, don't you realize it's over? I grabbed him by the hand. He looked me in the eye. I said, you okay? What's the matter, kid? Tell me. What's wrong? What's wrong? He simply said, well, a mistake at the maker, then passed away deep, deep, deep into the other side. That motherfucker, I loved his ass and his dick and his balls and the shape of his mouth. Doot, doot. How long we got left, Reese?
Yeah, how long's left, either way?
like 10 minutes. I got to go soon, to be honest. So.
Oh, would you leave it there then? Yeah. Why don't you give me 50 minutes this week?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Do you want to blow the bottle for like 30 seconds and we'll fuck off?
Go on, Go on.
What should I do with the bottle?
The bottle.
I'll introduce you.
Do you want to do it? Any request?
Can you do the theme tune to Crime Watch?
Oh, hang on.
Okay. Next up on the UK's hottest new artist, coming straight out of South Wales, Mike Bubbins with his Hard Glass Bottle Blow band and his great new single, the theme tune from Crime Watch.
Thank you, John.
Fucking hell. The demon sees
and please,
you must be mistaken.
Turn it off. Just turn the fucking thing off. Turn it off.
Paranormal
turn
existence.
It off.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.